Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison. And every single week, I thank you so much for tuning into my show. I'm so glad that you're here. I just got a couple of quick announcements, and then we'll move on to my guest this evening. I just want to let you all know that I'm going to be at the Lodge in Woodlock in Holly, Pennsylvania, the 11th and 12th. I'm going to be doing a couple of numerology workshops. Being Valentine's Day weekend, I'm doing some a workshop on compatibility and love by the numbers. I'm also going to be doing some readings in Doylestown on the 5th of March. And if you're interested in getting a live in-person reading and you live in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, please contact Susan Duvall at SusanDuvallSeminars.com. And by all means, please, please, please Facebook and Twitter me. You can catch those links right there on my pages on BBS. I'd love you to be part of my pages. So I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My guest this evening, we're so fortunate. You know, we have so many wonderful guests on BBS and on the show. And, you know, my guest this evening is Lisa Weichel, and she's a writer, she's a shamanic practitioner, and also, surprisingly, she's also a Bucks County attorney for over 25 years. And this is kind of amusing to me because one of my dear friends is also an attorney. He's a medium, so I just love getting the legal and then bringing this in as well. She has basically gone from general law practice and also representing women's rights advocacy, and now she works with her focus on her shamanic healing practice. Now, many of you may not be familiar with shamanism, and it's referencing beliefs and practicing regarding communication with the spiritual world. And a practitioner of shamanism is known as a shaman. Shamanism encompasses the belief that shamans are intermediaries or messengers between the human world and the spirit worlds. Shamans are said to treat ailments or illnesses by mending the soul. They can alleviate traumas affecting the soul or spirit and restore the physical body to balance and wholeness. Now, my guest this evening certainly would not call herself a shaman because, as I understand it, a true shaman never really identifies himself as such, but she has to graciously allow me to call her one. And I think what's really wonderful about Lisa is she believes that all humans, we all are indigenous to this planet and thus capable of being called to the shamanic path regardless of where we came from. And she's also the author of Owl Medicine, which is really kind of her spiritual adventure. And that book is available on her website, as well as she's really got just a fantastic website. If you're not familiar with what a shaman is or shamanic healing practices, this is the website to visit. It's owlmedicine.com, and this is Lisa's website. And I have to say, you know, I've been on it for, you know, an hour now, and there's just all kinds of things to read. I told Lisa, that was a little bit, I don't know if I want to interview on this because really, I know a lot of things, but this would be one area where basically I don't have a great deal of knowledge. But really, from reading her website and the wonderful presentation and how wonderfully she answers all the questions, I've learned a lot in just an hour being on her website. So I encourage you all, as you're listening to the show, to hop on over there. It's owlmedicine.com, and you do that while I bring my guest onto the show. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for your introduction. That was so sweet, and you're great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, you're welcome. I also want to tell my listeners that I met Lisa at one of my workshops, and you know, I meet all kinds of wonderful, amazing people going to all the workshops that I do. And I you know, I distinctly remember her. There's always, there's somebody when you meet them, there's just something about them. And you were definitely one of those, there's something about her.
Well, thank you.
And I think it was just like my inner knowing, meeting your inner knowing. Maybe it was a kindred spirit sort of a thing. But, you know, I just noticed you right away. And it's just been a pleasure to get to know you. So anyhow, I dragged her onto my show, which is, you know.
Dragged me on.
All right, well, Lisa, why don't you start? Well, you know, your journey, I know, has been to get to where you are. It's been a long one, and I know it's probably hard to boil it down into just, you know, a short answer, but maybe you'd like to share with everyone how you got to be from a lawyer to into this shamanic healing work.
Well, my introduction really to the metaphysical world is written about in Owl Medicine. And my transition from lawyer to shamanic practitioner is currently being written, even though I've lived it now for the past 20 years. And I guess what I can really say is just that I grew up in the countryside, in Northampton County, Pennsylvania, and I was always outside running around in fields or creeks or, you know, just because I was so out in the country that I didn't have very many people to play with, and all my brothers and sisters are older than I am, so I kind of had to make do with what was there, and that was nature. So I've just always had a really deep connection with nature and with animals. And one thing led to another. I read books, and when I'd say that when I first got interested in the concept of shamanism, I was raised Catholic, so I was as clueless about shamanism as anybody else who hasn't been introduced to it. When I realized that that concept existed, I looked for books, and there weren't very many. But now there are a plethora of resources for people to check out and, you know, explore what is available to us as humans, which actually has been, shamanism is our way of connecting to the spirit world and to everything around us. It's the oldest way we've had to be spiritually connected to our surroundings. And I'm just so grateful to be able to do this work on a regular basis. When I think back 20 years ago, I was a lawyer thinking that there'd be no way I could meld the two, and here I am, still a lawyer, not practicing much, but...
Right. Well, first and foremost, I want to say I thought I was the only person that used the word plethora, so good for you. A strange little word, and every once in a while it comes out of my mouth, and I'm like, why do I use that word? But, yeah, I'm glad somebody
words.
Else uses it. I love words, too, okay? And, you know, you've been on, you know, what I feel personally is that we all have a calling. Mm-hmm. And when that, sometimes it's like it chooses you, you know, it chooses you, but sometimes it's just all these signs and things are leading you to this destination.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you're born into it. Sometimes it's part of an inherited thing through the families. But sometimes it comes looking for you. And like, for instance, my journey with numerology, you know, the very fact that I was practicing it as an 11-year-old has to say something about a destiny. So this is something that more or less came calling for you. And given the fact of reincarnations, and I really feel that we've all lived many, many times upon this planet, and I feel that we've practiced many different types of lives, you know, some being, you know, maybe our purpose and why we are here. But I do think that, especially in these times, and forgive me for saying so, but in these times, I feel that some of the greatest spiritual people that ever walked the planet are on the planet at this time for specific purpose. So I think that there's a lot of you know, those of us being awoken to something that we seem to innately know. We know it. We don't know why we know it. And you said as much on your website that as you began to read and study, you realized it wasn't so much about you learning, it was about you remembering what you already knew. Would that be
right?
Your word?
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
I think that I think we all have so much more information and knowledge and wisdom that we don't even realize. And a lot of the people who come to me, I'm finding more and more, are people who are finding that suddenly their lives don't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And when we do the work, it turns out that they really are here for a much different purpose than they might have thought 5 years ago or even
exactly.
a year ago. But, you know, because I think a lot of us, like, for example, you and me and, you know, a lot of the people that we know who've been around for a while in this realm were here and were introduced to this stuff back when it wasn't as popular, because now we're all being called to help these other people wake up so they can be of service. And they've done what they're supposed to do, but now is the time when their real purpose is kicking in. And that's what we're here to do, help
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And really, you and your practice and me and mine, that so many people are coming, and the reason why they're calling and the reason why they're contacting you is because they find that their lives, there's a calling, and they're not exactly sure what it is, but they know it's more than where they're at.
Right.
And I really feel that they're searching. And I find all these incredibly gifted people.
Oh,
I kind of laugh because I'm in the middle of doing a reading, and I'm going, I really should just, like, say, okay, go ahead, you heal me, or you do the reading for me. Because really, honestly, dear heart, if you could just see what I see in your soul, you would understand that you yourself, you know, have tremendous spiritual gifts. And I think, too, that I've felt, and I know this on a personal level, but as especially this year and last year, every day I wake up with this, I feel is almost as though, and I don't know if you feel this way, so I'm just going to ask, and I know this is kind of off subject, but I feel as though I'm doing this job because it's so important for me to keep waking people up. Do you feel that?
Yes, I definitely feel that more and more and more. My practice has gone from doing work where I'm addressing a lot of physical things or depression, or they may still come to me for that initial, they're having symptoms of all sorts of kinds, but what I'm finding is that they really need to be awakened to who they really are.
And
one after another, just such amazing people.
Right. And it's amazing, too, that since I've been doing, I've been this awakening that's been happening over the last 10 years, at least, you know, intensely over the last 10 years. But I find that you touch them, and then you find out 2 or 3 years later they're out there doing the work, and you're like, oh, my God, that is just unbelievably fabulous, you know that.
It's so cool.
It is very cool. Okay.
Be simple about it, but
it is very cool. Okay, so let's try to explain to our listeners, because I'm sure that a lot of them are not really familiar, or maybe not as familiar as they could be. But one of the things that a shaman will do is like, if someone has like a chronic illness that traditional medicine can't seem to heal, or that really you can heal them by looking at the more spiritual root of the illness, or you have an ability to go into the spiritual world or a different dimension in order to bring back the solution for why this person might be having this problem. So what are the various different types of things that people, let's say, besides getting woke up, mm-hmm. but traditionally, what would someone seek out a shaman for?
Well, traditionally, the shaman was the person in the village who people went to for all sorts of things, you know, for hunting advice, for health, for healing, for divination, for just wise counsel. I mean, they really covered a lot of bases. And also herbal, medicinal type of things as well. I'd say it's important for people to understand the difference between healing and curing.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't come to me to be cured. Like, for example, someone wouldn't come to me with cancer and say, I want you to cure my cancer. And I would never, ever, ever, ever even presume to think that I could do that. But healing can sometimes mean bringing some kind of an understanding or a closure to a perspective on your life or your health, which can shift everything. For example, if someone is holding on to bitterness over a divorce, say, and they can't let it go, and it starts to eat away at them. You know, they may have gastrointestinal problems or something like that. I mean, this, I'm being very simple. But, and they may try every, you know, medicine known to man as far as the pharmaceuticals go, or try all sorts of different remedies, and it doesn't help. But if they go to a shamanic practitioner who can help them see where the root of the problem is, and they don't necessarily need to see it themselves, although I find that to be quite helpful, you know, they could go into the spirit world and ask what's going on, or they can do both, which is kind of what I do. I talk to the person, we isolate maybe perhaps a pattern or a place where they haven't actually gotten over something. Because a lot of times people will come to me, for example, in a divorce and say, oh, you know, I've been going to therapy and I understand what happened to the marriage and I'm okay with it, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll ask a certain question about perhaps something, some characteristic or something that happened in the marriage. Say maybe it was a betrayal, and they'll well up and they'll say, geez, I really thought I was over that. And it's actually the betrayal that is the root of what's ailing them or making mm-hmm. them sad or whatever their complaint is. Mm-hmm. And we may actually discover that there is a whole pattern of betrayal in their life, that the divorce was simply one other manifestation of that hurt that has mm-hmm. been dogging them all their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I go in and work energetically with them, and also often go into the underworld. And sometimes when we are hurt, either like in a car accident, that's an obvious physical trauma, or a divorce, or all sorts of things. And, you know, it's hard for me to just pull all sorts of different
sure.
Examples.
But would it be so? Can I just interject here? Isn't
please.
It just kind of safe to say that every thought, everything that's spoken to us, everything that ever happened to us, we're carrying it around with us in our energy field to a certain extent, and
yes.
that can create a certain amount of damage.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're
and
not clearing
fact,
that, then
mm-hmm.
after a while you can have some significant, you know, trauma that you're carrying
yes.
around.
And especially, you know, people, we were raised to think, you know, oh, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me.
Well,
and
names.
In fact, I've heard that bandied around as far as in the media a lot lately, because there's a lot of name calling going on. And that's absolutely, fundamentally not true.
Absolutely.
Everything has energy, every thought, every word, every deed. And they're just different frequencies. And if you say to someone, I hate you, with enough emphasis, and you throw those thoughts and words at them enough, well, I can pretty much guarantee that if that person were to be asked, maybe not now, but as time goes by, they'd probably feel pain in their back or in their stomach. And if a shamanic practitioner were to go into their energy field and look for crystallized energy, it's entirely possible that they might find crystallized energy. Actually, you know, it goes into our energetic field, and we have this luminous energy field around our bodies, but if we get hit that many times or with enough force, it eventually penetrates that luminous energy field and it has a physical impact. Now, we may mm-hmm. not see it show up, obviously, in an X-ray, but if you go into an altered state, I've seen, and I never would have thought that I'd ever be saying this out loud, much less broadcasting it, but I've actually seen and felt like daggers in people's backs where that I took out.
And you know, you ever? I'm not laughing because I believe you. I mean, I'm laughing because I actually had it. I actually was in a situation where it was really almost like a feuding family sort of a situation. And it was an impossible situation. And if you ever walk into a room and feel absolute silence and hatred, right? And in all honesty, after 15 minutes, I was physically feeling ill.
Yep.
And I went outside to clear, to get into fresh air, to walk away from it. And I was jokingly saying to someone that was with me, could you just pull the daggers out of my back, please? Could you just, you know, I don't know, there's about six of them in there. It feels like it. You know, I physically felt ill because of the negativity, the... You know, because you can't always be surrounded by Pollyanna nice people. Sometimes you're around
negative people.
And thoughts, words, deeds, they're all energy. And that was a very difficult situation. And also being very, very sensitive to energy. I physically felt woozy. I felt nauseous. I felt ill. And that's why going out into the air helped to clear that for me. But it's kind of funny you said you've seen the daggers.
It's not seeing necessarily with my eyes, but it's kind of. But
sure.
It's very hard to describe. And it,
sure.
Like I say, I never thought I'd even be able to see. But I'm living proof that if you practice and you actually allow yourself to open up to the spirit world, it is amazing what you get back.
It's absolutely. Absolutely.
But so many of us are so cut off from the messages that are all around us, which is part of what my book is about. Owl medicine was listening to the messages. I found a dead great horned owl, and I said to my husband, I knew that it was bringing us a message. And the book is about what that message was and all the different clues and other messages that we got along the way that helped illuminate this whole other world. And that was really the world of needing to be careful, needing to not be a Pollyanna, recognizing that there are indeed repercussions to people's negativity, and you know, the world isn't all roses out there. And you need to watch yourself, you need to learn how to be impeccable. And you need to learn how to protect yourself.
Sure.
Which I'm sure was the reason why it was a very hard time in our lives to go through that, and it was a hard lesson, which is why I wrote the book, so maybe people don't have to go through it as exquisitely as we did, but it was a good lesson to learn before I fully embarked on the shamanic path.
Right. Well, let me ask you something, and maybe you can explain this, but, and this just could be, you know, just research in general that might have gone amok, but is it true that in order to be initiated, that you actually, the rite of passage usually involves, it could be like a physical illness or some sort of a crisis for you know, in the process of, in order to be a healer, you become a wounded healer, you're wounded first in order to heal? Is that right, wrong?
That's generally true. Yes, most people experience some kind of a ripping apart of themselves, of a death in a way.
A death and then a rebirth.
Yeah, of a death to who they are in this world and a rebirth into who they are becoming. And it, for some people, that means being struck by lightning. For example, the Peruvian shamans, the Caro, who live in the high Andes in Peru, a lot of them find that they are called to the shamanic path when they're struck by lightning and survive.
Wow.
Other people, you know, other traditions have other types of crises where they experience a near-death experience. Others are dismembered in the spirit world. They'll have a dream, or they'll have some kind of an experience where they experience being ripped apart and then put back together again. But it's not necessarily in their physical body.
Sure.
Sure. Well, it just seems to me that it takes an extreme amount of dedication, respect.
Yes.
An extreme amount of respect to follow the path that you've taken. And I do want to give everyone the opportunity to call in and be able to speak with you. So let me give out the numbers for the show. And you can call in on 888-815-9756. You can call in on 530-327-7602, 530-413-4510, 530-413-4522. If I said those numbers too quick, you can just go to the front page of BBS Radio and look for the numbers right under Station 1 on the home page. And we would be happy, I know Lisa would be happy to answer your questions about shamanism. And also, you know, she is also more than willing, like if you have a problem or something that you would like to bring to her, and maybe she could give you some insight. She also has her medicine cards with her and potentially could give you some information from them. Maybe you've got some animals, totem animals or animals that are showing up in your life. Lisa certainly could also maybe give you some insight on that. And speaking of which, Lisa, my husband and I think it's more for my husband, but we do have hawks that live in our backyard. But also we find all the time when we are traveling that a hawk will pick that particular moment to just cross the road, fly across the road, or land in the tree to the side as we're, you know, whenever we're going somewhere, they seem to be everywhere.
Don't you love that?
I do love that.
I sort of interpret that they are kind of my escort service.
I feel that, yeah.
They're watching over us, and hawk is traditionally the messenger, so for you to have lots of hawks hanging around you doesn't surprise me a bit. You are a messenger, and you're bringing spirit to the world, and you're helping people learn about themselves and learn about the world. So the fact that hawk would hang around you makes complete sense.
Well,
and my sense is that they probably are watching over you, too, to keep you safe.
Right.
While you're
traveling. Well, I had the most bizarrest when I first moved to Pennsylvania. And really, there's a big catalyst to moving to Pennsylvania that actually started me from, you know, being a closet numerologist to becoming professional and getting, you know, getting out there. So Pennsylvania was a big catalyst. But I never forget the first year. And we have a deck that's located, in all honesty, almost treetop level because our house is on a hill. So it just so happens where we sit looking down over the creek that runs by and the field on that. Yeah, and it's a beautiful view. But one day I was sitting out on the deck and I was talking to my daughter. And so this can be validated. We can all call her and she'll tell you. I started screaming. I started screaming because all of a sudden in front of me was a bird whose wings spanned probably from pole to pole on the deck. So it was 5 feet at least.
Oh.
And I thought the reason why I didn't know if it was a hawk or an eagle was because the coloring of it was not, when I looked it up online afterwards to try to find out what the heck was it, but I swear to God, this thing was hovering about 4 feet away from me, hovering right there, right off the deck, looking at me.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
At the time, I didn't appreciate it. I was like, I thought it was coming to eat me or something. It was the biggest bird I ever saw. So it just stood there, and it just was hovering, staring at me, and then it just flew off. So it was really a bizarre thing. So.
Oh, what an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But now you
yeah.
appreciate it. Don't you know you were being welcomed? Wow.
I believe it was like, hello, now get to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Lisa.
Good thing you listen.
Lisa, we do have a caller, so let's take our caller. Who's calling, please?
My name is Penny.
Hi, Penny.
Penny.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Hey.
What can we do for you?
You caught my interest. I just started listening, and I heard you talk about finding a great horned owl, a dead great horned owl.
Yeah.
And I was just curious what that means because I had that same experience. It was at the beginning of fall. I was walking my dog through a small wooded area near a bark park. And there was a woman that I didn't know who walked past me who was hiking or jogging, and she just stopped and talked with me for a minute and then kept on going. And then I turned around and I noticed these feathers, and I screamed, I kind of yelled out, "Oh my goodness." And she came back, and I guess she wasn't afraid. She went over and picked up this owl and spread out its wings. It was magnificent, and it looked like it had not been dead very long. Mm-hmm. And it had a real profound feeling. You know, I came yeah. back and I tried to look up the meaning, and my mother had passed in June, and I don't know. I never knew what it meant, but it made me sad. I felt really sad for this owl, and I didn't know. I just felt like maybe there was some kind of meaning.
Oh, well, there's all sorts of meanings. But I could say that you were absolutely right that it was profound. That's really something to find an owl like that. And
it was gorgeous. I mean, it hadn't gone long. Its eyes were piercing. I mean, I don't know what happened to it. It made me sad. I looked up online to find out what kills them.
Yeah, I know that feeling of sadness. I felt the same way when I found mine. Mine had gotten stuck. Its leg had gotten caught in some grapevine, and it got caught, and it hung itself in a way from its leg.
Oh,
I found
dear.
It just after it had died. My husband and I found it. But I know that profound feeling of sadness. Now, in a lot of North American Native traditions, owl is often thought of as a harbinger of death or a symbol of death, because and a lot of Native North Americans are afraid of the owl because it's silent and it flies in the dark and its prey doesn't hear it coming until it's caught. But I've found that in other traditions, in South America and in Siberia, owl is not feared more, but more revered for all of those traditional things that we think of when we think of Athena, the goddess who had an owl on her shoulder. So owl can mean a lot of different things. Often, though, it can mean that you're being shown something that other people can't see because they're in the dark, or the thing being seen is hidden. So it might have meant that you were being inducted or introduced into a new way of seeing things, a way of seeing perhaps what other people are trying to hide from you. It also might have been connected to your mother. If your mother had recently passed, it might have been simply a messenger from the other side. There are all sorts of different meanings, and there are a lot of resources out there, good books, beyond what you can find on the internet. I still tend to be a person who likes to look things up in real, actual books. And if you go to my website and you go to resources, I list a number of resources that I use all the time. I mean, you know, I don't feel like we have to reinvent the wheel. We can access other people's wisdom as well as our own. When I bring back power animals for people too, I encourage them not only to strike up a conversation with that animal within themselves in their own imagination, but also to find out what their traits are by looking at these other resources. Because, you know, we have too much work to do here on the earth right now to try and redo everything all from scratch. I don't know
Penny.
If I answered your question.
Yes.
Okay, Penny. And I do recommend to our listeners, too, because that was one of the things I was going to... You have a wonderful resource of books on your website. And again, I just want to let all of our listeners know that Lisa's website is owlmedicine.com. Okay, Penny?
Okay, thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking with you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Penny, for calling. Okay. And we are taking calls
If you have a question for Lisa, that's fine. And certainly, if you've got something going on in your life, Lisa can maybe tap in, tune in, and maybe give you some advice. Again, the number is 888-815-9756, 530-327-7602, 530-413-4510, and finally, 530-413-4522. And I know that we have another caller, Lisa, so I'm going to take our caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Connie calling.
Hi, Connie. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you both so much for doing this tonight. My question, Lisa, I was smiling when you first came on because you had to hit up the divorce, and that I'm through the divorce in the recovery stages from it. Really felt that I was past a lot of the things that were going on, but it was brought to my attention recently that there is still fear involved with my ex. More control with me, more fear. I am going through financial situations with him, and he still is trying to control a lot in my life. And it was brought to my attention that I needed to address this fear, and I didn't realize I had it. I honestly had no idea that I did. But when I really digested the information, I had to come to the realization that I do. I do have a lot of fear, probably why I stayed as long as I did.
Right.
Glad I was able to move on. But what would you recommend would be the best way, realizing it's there, I think, is number one, paramount, addressing it, wanting to let this go. Do you have any advice that would be the best way for me to work on getting rid of this fear so I can cut off ties completely and move on?
Well, there are, at the risk of sounding self-serving, you could seek out a practitioner who does the work similar what I do, and they would help you tap into the fear, which you're aware of intellectually now, and what you could do is go through what's called an illumination process, which is getting rid of that root fear energetically. And what you would do is, if you worked with somebody from the tradition that I've been trained in, you would, for example, blow the feeling of that fear into one of my helping stones. They're called kuyas, and they're in my mesa, which is a sacred medicine bundle. And these stones have been initiated into a tradition, a healing tradition that goes back thousands of years. But you would select one of the stones, blow that fear into it, and then I would take that stone, and since it's resonating with that fear, I would check your chakras, and then find the one that's with the lowest one that's impacted, and we would work to have the stone draw out all that fear. And you would be laying down, and I'd kind of be putting you into an altered state just by breathing slowly and getting you into a deep state of relaxation. And I would help draw out this fear. And you might see memories of, you know, all the different ways you were fearful in your marriage, and you'd probably see images or have memories come up of other times in your life when you have found you were under the control of someone else, or you were, you were afraid of what someone else would do to you if you acted from your own power. All sorts of different things. And you might even see things that are like, wow, where did that come from? Which could be memories of past lives. Meanwhile, I'd be pulling out stuff and just pulling all this stuff out from you. And this is also the time in the session where I would also look to see if there were any crystallized energies in your energy field resulting from either your divorce or incurred during the marriage or at any time. Sometimes you would see, obviously, the things that I said, like a dagger. But sometimes, you know, when we feel bound and imprisoned, our bodies create these things literally. And like I've found with some people who feel like they have no voice, I've found literally binding around their mouths, they've been muffled, and I would cut that away. I mean, obviously, and I'm saying obviously, and it's obviously not obvious, but I see this with a different perception. But people who are in that state, they can feel me removing this from their mouths. They can feel me pulling the knives out of their back, stuff like that. And there might be other things that Spirit would tell me to do to help you get rid of the fear. For example, you might have had some kind of a trauma where it was so bad that a part of you said, I don't want to deal with being afraid anymore, so I'm going to just go down into the underworld. And I can get into a whole explanation of the three worlds shamanically. But there's a part of us, a part of our soul, in a sense, can go down where it feels safe and hide, basically. And sometimes I'm told to go down and find out if there's been a piece of ourselves that's broken off. And if there is, I try to find it and see if it wants to come back, because with the removal of that fear, it can feel safer then for that soul part to come back. Plus, obviously, the person has taken the steps to make themselves whole. They've recognized that there was this fear that was impacting them and skewing their perception of their life. But once they start to change their perspective, that healing takes place, and that part of themselves is willing to come back and take a risk to love again or to be who they really are. It's a fascinating dance that we play within ourselves that a shamanic practitioner can help you reclaim. So that's, you know, and then you can do other things like cutting the ties to your husband and stuff like that. But if you've isolated that there is fear, I would wager that you have experienced fear holding you back or impacting your life in other ways, not just associated with your husband. He just happens to be the biggest catalyst in your face right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would suggest going to somebody who can help you get rid of it at the root. Is that at all helpful, Connie?
That was absolutely wonderful. I understand exactly what you're saying, and it's like just this one step. So I want to thank Allison again for your beautiful show, and Lisa again for coming tonight, because your timing could not have been better. And I definitely will be in touch with you, because this is what I want to go, and I have a feeling when it does, then this whole world is going to change around me, and that's really what I want to see happen.
Oh, I hope so for you. Really.
Yeah, well, thank you so very much for everything.
Thank
Good night.
Colin, Connie. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Wow. Wow.
I feel like I talk, and I can hardly take a breath, and I don't want to overwhelm people, but I love this stuff, and it's so amazing. Sorry.
Okay, certainly. Well, that's okay, because I was right with you on that, so I was totally following every word that you said, and I was learning a lot. Okay, well, we have another caller, so I'll take our next caller. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Anne. Is this Allison?
Yes, this is Allison. Anne, what can we do for you?
I had a question for your speaker. The information that she was talking about before seemed to fit my life just as much. It's and thing about fear, but it was fear on top of abandonment. And I just realized as I was talking, listening to her, it was like, because I've gone through some traumatic things in my life, and I do feel that my spirit just left, just kind of checked out. And she was talking about the different levels that you kind of escape to avoid all these things that are happening, because you can't deal with them. And when your spirit starts coming back, because that's what I feel that it is, it's fascinating, it's interesting, you cry, you laugh, you cry probably more than you do anything else, because it's your spirit, which is what you were born as, you just have to get acquainted with it again.
Yes, absolutely. It's a reunion of sorts. And it's like finding your best friend again. It's like I knew
yeah.
I knew I was this way. I knew I had this in me, and yeah, and you know, when we welcome back a part of ourselves that's been gone for such a long time, we need to honor that part of ourselves has taken the risk to come back. And you know, there's this mm-hmm. there's a trust factor within ourselves that we are going to take care of ourselves in a different way now. Now, and that doesn't mean that we were negligent before. It just means that we're now at a place where we can take responsibility for our own healing, and we can make sure that we act with in such a way that we honor ourselves and we honor that part of ourselves that has come back.
It's like meeting a new friend.
I'm sorry?
It's like a meeting or acquainting yourself with a new friend.
Yes, with a best friend. Mm-hmm.
And it and the tears to me are not tears of sadness; they're more tears of joy.
Yes. Yep. I have lots of clients who come out looking like rag dolls just because they've rediscovered who they really are, and it is
mm-hmm.
tears of joy that often come out.
It's a lot of work, but it's facing something, because I think of all of the word abandonment, because I've had that in my life by different people. And then when you started speaking, I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what I did to myself.
Mm-hmm.
The same
yes.
exact thing that I
yep.
didn't want, that I found, I did the same thing to myself.
Mm. All right. There are lots of times I will find that a person, and it's been defined to me or labeled as self-sorcery, and it's when we are our own worst enemy. It's when we
yes.
are the ones who put the muzzle around our mouth or the chains around our wrists, you know, because we think ourselves and believe ourselves to be unworthy of being heard. And it may feed off others having told us that or treated us in that way, but then when we take that and run with it, very often it's our own self that continues the lie until we heal ourselves. Yeah.
Or something forces us to finally deal with it, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's a truth. It's dealing with a truth or the truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
yep.
I just wanted
hard
to
work,
say thank
but,
you because
thank you for calling. Thank
you
so much for
thank
your
you
for
much.
Your adding to it. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. You know, one of the things that, and I know that numerology isn't remotely close to what you do, but the one thing that really clearly is stated in most of everyone's chart are challenges to overcome in their lifetime, and quite often these challenges are born of experiences in the childhood or something. And, you know, as you speak, I hear of, you know, like where we censor ourselves or inhibit ourselves or we don't let our true selves through, that can actually be an exact replica of what the challenge is in the numerology charts.
Mm-hmm.
And so often you may, on an intellectual level, understand, okay, I've got this problem. But every time you hit the problem, you're overwhelmed with an emotional part of you that you know, it doesn't matter that you understand it. It still creates emotion
yes.
in you.
Yes.
And I think that this is where shamanic healing can help you to, for once and for all, kind of let go of that particular challenge that you have. I know, and I know this may not be the same thing, but I remember I had a meditation that was on healing. It was music, and it was, you know, basically geared for healing. And I kind of was sitting in the middle of a childhood experience that was extremely traumatic for me. And I think I had looked at it entirely different all my life, and it was the first time that I looked at it in an entirely different way. And from that moment, that realization of that of seeing it for what it was and understanding how that had influenced me all my life,
and then letting go of that. I think it was the first time I actually healed myself from something, you know, whether that would be the same thing or not, but, I let go of something. And
yeah.
I was literally in tears, once I saw it for what it really was. And then afterwards, I think there was just a complete and total shift in me as far as is what my boundaries all of a sudden, I had boundaries, and so it was really interesting. I mean, I think we all carry a tremendous amount of. I don't think. I mean, really, honestly, I think life is. There's always going to be something for someone, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's about perception and how you handle that, how you integrate
all
that.
All about perception,
right?
You're exactly right, and it's what you did and what shamanic work is, and see, I told you you do shamanic work. That was a very shamanic thing that you did. You shifted your perspective on an experience you'd had years and years ago, but you shifted your perspective and you changed your perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
And perception is everything.
Right.
And when you did that, you were able to heal.
Right.
And that's what I help people do, is shift their perspective.
Yeah. And then heal from that. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I know that we heard another bee, but I'm just going to say in advance, my dear, that we only have about 3 minutes with this caller, and then we have to wind down the show. So I don't know what mojo you can do in 3 minutes, but let's take the next caller. Who's calling, please? Somebody on the line who's calling? Hello?
Did we scare them away?
I think I did. I probably said 3 minutes, and they said, oh, I'm not going to go. Okay. I apologize, caller, if you got dropped, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but sometimes, just having 55 minutes with someone just simply isn't enough, and that's pretty much the case for tonight, because I'm sure that we haven't even begun. We haven't even touched the surface of your work. We haven't touched the surface of what all this means, and I don't know if we can do it justice in the 55 minutes that we have. But I do want to once again tell all of our listeners that we've really been having a wonderful conversation. It's been a complete pleasure to speak to Lisa this evening, and she's a shamanic practitioner. Her website is owlmedicine.com, and I really do encourage you, even if you're somewhat curious about shamanism and you would like to learn a little bit about it, her website has a wonderful resource book area where you can find all different kinds of books that will be very, even, with animals, animal totems and things like that. She has a wonderful blog. I love the name of your blog, Ruffled Feathers. I love that.
Thank you.
Did
you look at the pictures of the owls? Because the one especially just looks like sometimes how I feel.
Yeah, like issues that ruffle your feathers, I think, or give you pause. I mean, honestly, that is so incredibly clever, and I love that. So she has a blog you guys don't want to miss because it's really interesting. As they said, you can find out more about her services, the different kind of healing work that she does. Certainly you can contact her from her website, maybe write her an email if you had a question and didn't get to it this evening. I'm sure if you were to write Lisa, I'm sure she would be happy to answer your question. So Lisa,
absolutely. Email is the best way to get in touch with me. I'm very much of a visual person as opposed to a talker. Can you tell?
No, I can't tell, but okay.
Allison, it's been so much fun. It's such a joy to do this. This was really fun. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm going to give you just a minute, and if you want to just give the listeners just a little bit of pearly words of wisdom or anything you'd like to say before you go.
Pearly words of wisdom.
I'm sure you have a plethora of them.
Well, at least I think my kids and my husband would probably say I never stop giving them. I guess I would say that the best thing I can suggest to everybody is to go outside and put your feet on the earth and just listen. Feel the earth underneath your feet. Look up into the sky. Contemplate how seldom you may actually look up and look around and just take in all of nature and realize that we really are all related. That's what I would say.
All right. Well, I'm going to do that first thing in the morning, I promise. So anyhow, Lisa, thanks so much for joining us. And everyone that was listening, everyone that called in, we really appreciate your support. We appreciate that you came this evening. I do want to let everyone know that next week on the show we have John Holland. And, of course, I don't think he needs much of an introduction. Really excited to have John back on the show. I think this is his third time on the show. So we'll be able to chit-chat and talk to him. So be sure to join me next week. Lisa, have a wonderful evening. And all of you out there, I'm wishing you abundant blessings. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.
Thank you, Allison. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.